Dietmar and Chief will join in progress. First thing on the agenda, we had public comment. I don't know that we have anybody who wants to share any public comment at this point in time. Do we, Sherry?
No, there are no public in attendance.
Okay. Then moving on, approval of minutes. In your packet, you had minutes from the September 14th meeting. Would entertain a motion on the minutes?
Hey, everybody. Yeah, I move that we accept the minutes as presented.
Seconded.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Hey, Spencer, I think you have to vote on this one. Okay. Everybody who is in favor, minutes have been approved. Moving on to discussion items. First item on the agenda, we had Finance Director Mike Merzinski is going to provide an update on online payment room tax assessments and business license fees. Mike?
Yeah, my video is messed up. It's disconnected. I have to get IT to look at it. All right, go down the list. Business license, that's going to be down the road. I won't see it. Probably be something Steve will have to deal with. Room tax, I've gone through the city's ordinance, compared it to the state, and that's something I need to sit down and go over with Spencer, just to kind of figure out what direction to go, because we have all their requirements in our ordinance. However, we've got a lot of administrative items that they don't have. It's probably irrelevant to them. But that's pretty much it. I mean, I'll sit down with Spencer and go over that, and he will have to assign it to wherever he's going to do, because I'm out the door on February 11th. So that'll be my last day for the city of Newport. I don't know if I haven't yet. Anybody has any questions?
Hey, Mike, why don't you give a little quick update on Invoice Cloud and where we're at with that?
Invoice Cloud is functioning okay. We're having training tomorrow. I believe, yeah, we're having finally our first training on it. We've kind of escaped by surviving it ourselves. It's working great for the utility billing system. However, AR in court, those are systems that were promised that aren't been developed yet, and supposedly they're going to be ready in May and in April, or April and May, something like that coming up. But it's a pretty good system. I mean, it's tied in through WaterSmart, which is another good system. So, it's a good. They're both good systems. So it's just we're learning the nuances of them right now. So I don't know if there's any questions you may have on that.
I would just note for the record that Councillor Goebbels joined us. I had included in your packet, just in the brief memo, a link to the State Department of Revenue's website, which shows a little background in terms of their efforts to work with local governments to facilitate collection of room tax payments for local governments through their office. And they had a link listing all of the jurisdictions and where they're at. And most jurisdictions still collect room tax locally, but you're starting to see more and more transition to the state doing those collections. That's what I gathered in looking at the list. So, and then the iCloud link that Spencer had mentioned, I assume that is in the context of using that for collecting business license and related fees online. Was that right, Spencer?
Is that what you're...
Yes, that just the process of getting that implemented, and we were focusing initially on utility billing, and so those are items that we hope to have up and running, by the end of the fiscal year, rolling into the next fiscal year. We'll see if that happens. We're going through some transitional changes, as Mike has indicated, and so we'll see what we can can do to get through this period of time here and get that, you know, get that to be a reality.
Yep. Okie doke.
Okay, next up on the agenda, we have no further comment on that, was an update on licensed short-term rentals cap and wait list. The we have 194 licensed short-term rentals in the city. At this time, 149 of those are inside the overlay, 38 are outside the overlay, and 7 are B&Bs or home shares, which it doesn't matter. They can locate anywhere in the city. City has 176 license cap. After we cleared the renewal period, we had 23 licenses available. We made those available to individuals on the wait list. 13 have taken advantage of that opportunity or are licensed. The remaining are working through the licensing process. They're listed on a sheet that was included in your packet. The remaining 10 license slots will be held over for the next opportunity, which will be in August of this year. So that 10 will be bundled together with however many licenses become available due to attrition and so on and so forth. And that'll be the next batch that's made available to persons on the wait list. Wait list is presently at 59 properties, which we would expect will take, 2 to 3 years to work through. And as you all know from prior memos and discussions on this, that's fluid. It goes up. Then we're able to offer a number of licenses. It goes back down again, and it'll build back up again. So and we do have for some time provided a table listing all of the licensed short-term rentals on our website with the rest of the short-term rental information. Before your next meeting, we'll actually have that in more of a searchable database format. It's just about ready to go. Our IT folks are doing some final bug testing on it, so to speak, to make sure it's operating properly before it's launched. But it'll be similar to the table, but just a little bit easier. I mean, you'll be able to just enter in a address or thing of that nature and be able to pop up a unit that's licensed. That's all I had on that agenda item. Were there any questions?
Yeah, I have one. Oh.
Hi, Cynthia.
Hi. My question is just to clarify, if someone has an opportunity to apply but they don't, do they go to the back of the list?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Theoretical question. As we go forward and do some annexation, if a property that we're annexing is got a short-term rental on it, are they grandfathered then, or do they go back onto the onto the list? I would assume they'd be grandfathered in, and I don't know that we have any that are being annexed, but we are planning to do some changes to UGB and annexing down in South Beach.
If they were operating in compliance with the county's regulations, and we annexed, they would come in as a non-conforming unit.
Okay.
We annexed to the south, then you're looking at areas that are actually within the overlay, because we extended the overlay all the way south, including some areas that are not currently in the city limits, anticipating that down the road annexations would occur and we didn't want to have to redo the boundary per se. But it would come in as non-conforming units to your question, Bill.
So, Derek, follow up to Bill's question. What's the difference between the county sunset rules and the city sunset rules as far as When does the SDR terminate on sale? Is that the same in the county?
I'm not familiar enough with the county's rules to say exactly, and I'm not certain that they sunset in all circumstances. I know we had the ballot measure that applied to certain properties in unincorporated Lincoln County. So.
But then would they have to comply with the city rules once they're annexed, right?
It would come in as a non-conforming unit if it was operating in compliance with the county's rules. If it was non-compliant with the county's rules, it's just an unlawful short-term rental, and they would have to meet our current rules, you know, immediately.
Right. So the county rules would go away and the city rules would apply, right?
Right.
Yeah. On the search, on the search engine that you're proposing, are you going to, when that, when somebody does a search on that, how do they find a property? Is that from Google Earth, or how does that, how does that pop up happen?
No, it's not keyed to a GIS. You know, if they're just trying to find a short-term rental, it's more if somebody wants to know if a particular property that they're aware of is licensed, they'll have the address. They can just do an address search. They can do a search on owner, a couple other fields as well. What we presently make available in table form, just a little bit easier to get to the specific property you're interested in if it's in a database.
So if somebody was, somebody was thinking of buying in a neighborhood, they could search for the see if there's any rentals and associated in that neighborhood. That's what the search engine is supposed to accomplish.
A number of things. It, you know, if somebody wants, you know, is just, hey, I didn't know that was a rental in the neighborhood. Is this actually a licensed rental with the city? They could look it up that way. And if it's not, then, you know, they could lodge a complaint. Or as you said, if somebody's looking to purchase property and for short-term rental purposes, they want to make sure that whatever property they're purchasing is actually licensed, they can use the database for that purpose as well.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Derek,
yes.
On the wait list items, we've got it noted on a number of them, applied by deadline, working to get the license issued. Does that mean that unit meets the spacing requirements as well as the
Yeah, usually when they applied by deadline and working to get licensed, we've checked that part of it off. What they're typically doing is they have some sort of structural work on the unit that they need to get taken care of. They have a contractor they got to line up to enlarge a window or address deck railing issues. It kind of runs the gamut, but that's usually what the delay is.
So if someone had a vacation rental and there was already a vacation rental on that side of the street in that block,
we would pick that up before we offer the license.
Okay, would they apply for it though? Would they be on an application list or would they be on a didn't apply list?
Well, what we do is it is this. Okay, so we go down the wait list, and if a particular and a unit comes up, and this unit is on a street segment that already has a vacation rental on it, so it doesn't qualify, we'll let that person know. We move to the next unit. They stay on the list.
Yeah.
It's only if, as Cynthia mentioned, if they sit for whatever reason, say they have a month-to-month tenant, which has happened, you know, they're renting in a month-to-month basis, it's working out for them, their name comes up, they say, you know, we're not interested, then they go off, or sometimes they'll say, can we be added back on the bottom of the list? That's fine.
I have another question, Derek.
Sure.
I'm looking at your wait list here. The ones that didn't apply by 11/30/2021, were those existing units that didn't apply for a renewal, or what is that? Is that a new? Those are new applications.
Those were 10 eligible properties on the wait list that chose not to pursue a license for whatever reason.
So they're no longer on. They're going to be taken off the wait list.
Correct. They go off the wait list, and then those licenses will be available the next time we go through this exercise. What we've been doing is we go through this exercise once a year at the close of the license renewal period. So the 10 licenses that were not acted upon, they'll be available at that time, along with any others that are relinquished, say a property sells, new owner.
And the ones that applied by the deadline, and you said I'm working to get license issued, they're just in the waiting for you to get your all your research done, or what's the wait on that?
No, more often than not, we're waiting for them, and it's because they've got something to do to the unit. sometimes they have a, you know, a few of them, I think, had some tenants they're transitioning out. But more often than not, what you run into is a situation where they have to make some modifications to the unit. So maybe they got to alter a window so that it meets fire egress requirements in a bedroom, or they got to work on some deck railing. It really does kind of run the gamut. But then those are cases where they got to get a contractor lined up, and, you know, they're juggling everything else in their life, and it just takes time.
So nobody is waiting on a city right now, right?
They shouldn't be, no.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep, you bet. Any other questions on that? Or we'll move on to short-term rental enforcement update. Jim, I'll go ahead and turn it over to you for the enforcement update.
All right. Thanks, Derek. So you look at the memorandum I sent out. We had three cease and desist letters, two citation letters with citations included, and then 11 complaints filed, majority of them coming in via the hotline. I did receive an email from the complainant of the illegal rental complaint and voiced their concern that I was a little vague on the nature of the complaint. I put down a complaint regarding the wording of registered owners listing on the website. So I guess I could have been a little bit clearer. What it regards is a unit that's actually being advertised as a long-term rental. However, within the body of the description of the listing, it states that you can cancel or that they will not charge after the fifth day if you cancel. So I'm gonna be scheduling a meeting with both Derek and David Allen to discuss exactly how, if there's a violation there and how we should best proceed from that. So that one is still under review, and then there's one trash complaint that's open. Everything else is closed or no violation.
I have a question for Jim, if I may.
Hi,
Jim. So the three cease and desist, were those operating, you know, without a license?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what they were about? Okay, great.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. It was just people that didn't realize that they had to go through the licensing procedures. They just thought they could pull a website up and then rent it out. And so once I informed them of it, they took down the listings.
Super, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions with respect to enforcement? I did want to take a moment at this point in time. Spencer had shared a memo with Carla previously, and there were some follow-up items listed with that memo. I'm going to bring it up real quick as part of shared screen, just the issues that he had listed at the end of that document. So I trust you have a chance, you can see this. There's items, you have several recommendations for the short-term rental work group. The first one has to do with whether or not there's some sort of mediation service. That's, you know, I'm not aware of, you know, we haven't really explored that in any greater detail than what's outlined in this memo. It is an issue certainly with some owners and neighbors in terms of, you know, just getting to a point where there's quite a bit of tension there. Whether or not mediation service would assist or not, who's to pay for it, you know, that's all open-ended. Some of the other things, such as the lodging revs features I'd mentioned in the memo, those are now live. So that when somebody is lodging an incident in the system, they will get a confirmation email. When the status is changed, they will be informed as well when the status is changed. So if it goes to closed, then they will get an email indicating that it's been closed. And if they have questions, contact information for the city's community service officer. When a complaint is filed, the designated agent will also receive an email in addition to the confirmation email that goes to the person who lodged the incident. This gets at item three, where Spencer's talking about property managers being notified. We set it up for the designated agent, which is, you know, is who the first point of contact should be. Fourth point he had was just, and this is something we had had an opportunity to talk about at a previous meeting, which is just to be professional in the context of these meetings, that, you know, it takes, when somebody's bringing a complaint, we want to come at it from a good angle, that, you know, people wouldn't be raising issues unless there was a legitimate concern there, and that needs to be taken wholeheartedly and it's investigated and make sure that we get a clear and accurate response back to folks. And then the last item he had to do with Invoice Cloud, which we talked about briefly, which was use of the of that system for business license, online business license payments, and our hope to have that up by the end of the fiscal year. So, Spencer, I just wanted to run through those since neglected to include it in the packets, so you could see how that's been addressed.
I think the issue of mediation services is something that we should focus on a little more to see if there's an opportunity for us to tie in with a service that might be helpful in some of these more chronic sorts of issues that we have. It may be helpful, it may not be helpful, but it's something I think worth taking a peek at. So,
We also kind of re-promoted the short-term rental, the link to the incident form on the city's website. So it's as prominent as we can make it reasonably on the main website if somebody's looking for that information. So I'll go ahead and stop screen share. Any other thoughts or comments relative to enforcement? That was the last agenda item that we had outside of scheduling the next meeting, which would be in about 3 months is when we would typically hold that meeting, because this group is to meet quarterly. And what I've done, if it still continues to work for folks, is I will float out a poll as we get closer to that time frame with the range of dates to see what works best for everybody.
Would be February, March, April, maybe?
Yeah, about April.
Derek?
Yes.
Can we go back to this last form here? I was just thinking of saying there was a issue here under parking complaint, where the investigation discovered the registered owner was using the location to host a family event. Mm-hmm. Now, I know there's different rules or maybe too many vehicles in a neighborhood street when it's a private party, but how does that work? Like if there are vehicles at a private home and perhaps they're blocking the street for access if there were safety vehicles needed, what can we do about that, Spencer? Or
I think there's a couple questions in the mix there, and you know, one is if traffic is being blocked by parked cars, it's a police issue and police should be called to if the cars are illegally parked. I think the question here is, this is apparently, and I'm not familiar with the situation, and maybe Jim can elaborate a little further, but apparently this was being used by the owner's family. Is that what was the indication? And I don't know, Derek, if that how that plays into the limits on occupancy.
There isn't if it's used for personal residential use. We don't do that in any any form in residential areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's yeah, go ahead, whoever was.
What I can add in from what I know of the complaint is there wasn't a complaint of a vehicles blocking the roadway. There was the complaint that there were too many vehicles there, and the complainant felt that it was a short-term rental and that they just had too many vehicles for the number of people that should have been there. So, like I said, when I investigated it, I contacted the registered owner and was informed that no, they were using the residence at that time. And in that case, unless they're blocking somebody else's driveway or blocking the roadway so that emergency vehicles or residents could get down there, there was no violation involved.
Okay. Well.
Eat more.
So, and Cynthia, are you saying or are you asking that if somebody rents a VRD, they cannot have any guests come to stay with them or visit with them? Is that what I hear?
No, I'm saying that. I was just wondering if this vehicle complaint was because there was like a huge overflow of traffic, but it was the owner of the house. I don't know. I was just wondering about the community safety. What can you review what our STR rules say again about it's the number of vehicles limited at short-term rentals? What is it, one per bedroom if it's a rental?
This was an owner using their own home, Cynthia. Right. Therefore, there was no violation. It would be just like if you had people visiting you at your house, right?
Right. I understand that. I was just wondering if the complaint was that they were blocking the road or something.
Derek is looking that up and kind of following up with, I think, where Dietmar was heading. There is a restriction. So if it's being used as a vacation rental, mm-hmm. There is a restriction on the total number of people and guests that can be in that vacation rental, regardless of, you can't have a party in a vacation rental and exceed the number of people that you're licensed for that vacation rental. So, okay. That issue is clearly covered in the code. The question on vehicles, do you know, Derek, what the, is there an, I know we have an occupancy limit, but do we have a?
Well, the occupancy limit tees off of how much in the way of off-street parking you're provided. So for each bedroom in a house that's made available for vacation rental use or short-term rental use, you need to have one off-street parking space, unless you're in certain parts of Nye Beach, for example, where you can utilize on-street in lieu of the off-street. But by and large, you have to provide one off-street parking space for every bedroom in a house that's made available for short-term rental purposes. And then the occupancy is two persons per bedroom plus two. That's how that's set up. So the real key on your overall occupancy has to do with the size of the house. And that usually tops out at about five bedrooms, because you go above that, you get into a different building code classification. So, and if you look at our list, you know, it's your bigger short-term rentals are occupancy of 10 or 12. That's, and there aren't a whole lot of them. Most of the short-term rentals are in the 4, 6, or 8.
So, Jim, when you made that report mm-hmm. on the person that had too many vehicles there, they weren't necessarily obstructing traffic, were they? Somebody just felt they had too many cars there?
Exactly. So the complainant thought that it was being occupied as a short-term rental, and the number of people they saw coming and going, they felt was in excess, which if it was being utilized as a short-term, if the number of people they said they saw, yes, would be a violation. When I contacted the registered owner and talked to him about what occurred, and he told me that they were using it for one was a wedding and the other one was a family event. They had, you know, family and friends over. Everybody was legally parked. We received no reports. Patrol received no reports of any vehicles blocking the roadway. When the photos I saw that were sent on one of the complaints, all the vehicles were legally parked. There was just, you're talking about maybe five on the street, but no neighbor driveways blocked, no mailboxes blocked. Everybody was legally parked.
Okay, thank you. I mean, that can happen any place in town, right? I mean, any house.
Exactly. I mean, you know, you fill your driveway with, you know, three cars, four cars, how many ever can fit. If you have excess guests coming over, then they're going to park on the street. And as long as they aren't blocking a driveway or aren't blocking the roadway, they're more than entitled to park there.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Do we have anything else for the good of the order? This was the, we had one additional public comment period, but I don't believe we have anybody, right, Sherry?
That is correct.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you everybody for your time. We'll be reaching out in a few weeks to put a poll out there for an April meeting date.
Derek?
Yes.
The question is, I can't remember, what is the longevity of this work group at this point based on the last resolution of the...
I think I'll have to get the specific date, but we pushed out another 12 months. At some point, we really do need to kind of come up with what are there any further recommendations? Is it recommend to continue with the ordinance, make some changes to the ordinance, continue this as a standing committee, or go ahead and dissolve this? Those were all things that were out there that need to be kind of hashed through.
I think it might be helpful if for the next meeting you can kind of put a list together of those charges so that we can stay focused on kind of what the mission of this group is, and see if we can pick away at a couple of these in the next couple of three meetings if we've got, you know, we got two to three more meetings to go before we give a report back to the council.
Okay.
So Spencer, on that, within 12 months, council has to figure out whether this is a standing committee or whether to terminate the committee?
Yeah, I think this group owes a report to the council about how is the ordinance working? Are there any changes in the ordinance? And then talk about, again, whether there needs to be an ongoing committee. You know, this was set up as a work group. And so the question is, do we need to continue having a group like this meet? Should it be a standing group? You know, those are all the issues that need to be addressed back to the council as part of the mission of the work group.
When is that 12-month period up, Derek? You know,
I'll have to grab the resolution. I didn't have it handy, so we have some time though.
Sometimes I believe we extended another 12 months to take us through this coming summer, thinking that we haven't really observed a whole normal summer season, right? So it's going to be sometime after the summer season, Dietmar, the date.
Okay. So thank
you. So like Spencer said, it's like one or two more meetings probably before we have to decide if we're extending again.
So at the next meeting, Derek, are we going to talk about whether we want to be a standing committee or make a recommendation to council?
Yeah, we'll package that. That'll be one of the items under that kind of overall heading of kind of where do you want to start to take this?
Derek, okay. Just one other thought too. It would be kind of useful in our statistical information to show the total number of vacation rentals at the beginning of the ordinance and, you know, just seeing what's happened with the numbers as we've been under the new ordinance here as well. So
it seems to me like everybody's kind of mellowed out. I haven't heard too many really problems. Have you, Jim, heard any particular issues?
No, it's you know, the same issues we get before, but just in less quantity. I mean, there's you know, nothing outstanding that's been coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, we'll pull that together for the next meeting.
Thank you.
Nice to see everybody.
Yeah. Cynthia, Dietmar, I'll see you at 4:00.
That's right.
You might.